Thanks for listening to the podcast. We hope you enjoy it. The show notes are included in the summary for each episode. Notes can be accessed from the Mobile Marketing Podcast link at the top and bottom of the dominoresearch.com website. If you like the podcast, please take a moment to help us out. Rate and review us on your preferred medium. We are currently available on iTunes, Google Play Podcast, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Thank you. Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hi there, it's time for another episode of the podcast, Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy. Today we're talking about real estate marketing and what the current conditions in the industry might mean for brokers, realtors, and agents. We've got a few suggestions for folks working in the industry, and we're going to talk about some very specific plans for keeping things solid or even increasing business during the potential recession and very real downturn in the housing market that we're seeing right now.
I'm Hazel Fruitman.
I'm Kim Stewart, and we want to welcome you to another episode of our podcast. We're talking real estate this week, and if you're in the industry, you know that we've hit a bit of a speed bump, and the market is really starting to tighten up in many parts of the U.S. and Canada.
Yep, Canada is not immune, and while some of the problems they have been brought on by government intervention, there is still a general slowdown in sales, and that is something that all real estate agents and brokers need to worry about.
Awesome. So before we get cranking on this week's episode, let's take a real quick moment and look back at some archived episodes that deal with real estate marketing and would probably be perfect for our newer listeners to key into after they're done here.
Well, yes. And one in particular is a fairly recent episode. It's number 92. It's the best of real estate marketing.
Okay, you got me there. Yeah. That's definitely a prime candidate. But there are a couple of others that I also think are significant in the amount of information that they impart to the listeners. So I would pick episode 61, which is how realtors use mobile campaigns to generate leads. And going back a bit, I would go all the way back to episode 8, which is the 3 R's of top producers.
Okay, I'll buy that. I mean, when times get tight, everyone in the business had better start acting like a top producer when it comes to marketing and strategy, or they'll end up in a different industry, methinks.
That is so very true. So the other thing that I'd like to do real quickly here is to have you do the usual 4-minute rundown that details how mobile wallet passes are used by consumers, how they're deployed by businesses. So let's drop into that part of the episode right now. How's that sound to you?
That's fine by me. Mobile wallet campaigns are incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is native iOS application. And Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on. Those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification, and they have the ability to tap the backlinks, and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the Wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based, or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do.
All right, let's get down to it and talk about the situation with the housing market and what it might mean for our customers or potential customers. You know, the bottom has really kind of dropped out in some places. Not so much yet in pricing, but more in the sort of time to sale. This is not abnormal. It's almost part of the usual cycle. But, you know, at the end of the day, right now, we see properties that would have perhaps gone in hours or days back in the springtime, and they're not even going in weeks now. The prices are, when they do go, not holding. And, you know, these properties are really going to have to be marketed in order to complete transactions.
Yes, it's kind of strange how everything was moving right along in both the U.S. and Canada, and then it just hit a wall. Do you know what's behind the sudden drop?
Well, when I was doing the research for this episode, I ran across a few things. Yeah, the first one is that people are still simply being priced out of the market. First-time buyers, lower-income people, they just cannot afford to get in. Too many of these institutional investor groups and real estate trust groups have bought up what I would call the starter-sized single-family homes and have turned them into rental properties over the past decade. And, you know, there's just not enough reasonably priced housing being built right now. And it's not likely to get started again anytime either. The new property starts in both the U.S. and Canada are way down from last year, which already didn't look that great compared to the past 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, markets that haven't been slow are now seeming to take a hit too, like San Francisco, Vancouver, Toronto, Los Angeles.
Oh yeah, and you know, the United States, the South, and the Midwest are also in the toilet. Phoenix is kind of holding it neutral, but Austin, Texas is really the only place I ran across in the research that is still really hot, at least according to their May and early June numbers. You know, all that super cheap real estate that was available after the housing crash, that's all gone now. And, you know, neither investors nor lower priced buyers are able to find any kind of deals in most areas.
How does it compare to income?
Well, you know, that's a problem too, because housing prices are rising faster than wage increases. So this is really like a double whammy for the lower to medium priced units. And, you know, in the luxury sector as well, prices aren't really gaining. They're either dropping or they're just kind of flat if people are lucky. And, you know,
not to bring this up really, but you know, there's also a big situation with foreign investors.
Oh, I know what you mean. Like the way that Toronto followed Vancouver with the imposition of a crazy tax on foreigners purchasing real estate.
Yeah, you know, that's a big thing in Canada and in the United States as well. Chinese investment money, for instance, in the United States real estate market is down more than half this year compared to last. I think it's actually closer to 66% down. And, you know, with mortgage rate interest dropping like it has been, the market should not be completely flat, but it's starting to look like it is.
Mm. So how do you think this goes with politics? Does that have something to do with it?
You know, that's a really hard one. That's like playing pin the tail on the donkey in the dark. But, you know, it's possible that it is a part of it.
Yeah, but no matter what the cause, the situation means that realtors, agents, and brokers will not be able to just hang a for sale sign on a property and get someone to buy it without any effort anymore. Those days look to be behind us, at least for the moment.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've got several friends in various locations who are trying to sell their homes. And I keep a pretty good eye on the ones in my neighborhood, especially since I'm out walking the dog every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And it seems like anything that's not originally priced to sell or the owners are willing to do a price reduction is just not moving at the moment. I know you said your next door neighbors got a quick sale on their house, but I think you also told me you thought that was pretty fairly priced.
It is. And the same realtor has a property across the street for sale, and it's taking much longer to sell.
So it's not as attractively priced.
That's right. That's right. So, I mean, we've got... I mean, if you're a realtor, agent, broker in the coming slowdown, and let me be clear, we're not saying that it's for sure going to bottom out or even how much of a dip the industry will be taking. But the important thing is to start prepping for a world where you can have to actually market and sell properties where they don't sell themselves.
Yeah, I mean, if you think back to the world before the turn of the century.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, but that was only 1999.
That was too long ago.
I mean, you know, at least mortgage rates are not 6 to 8% plus now like they were back when I bought my first house.
Yeah, yes. And we've got plenty of shows that detail the nuts and bolts of using mobile, specifically mobile wallets with location and time notifications, and all the bells and whistles that the platform provides. So there's a lot of reason to rehash those in this episode. Instead, let's just take a few minutes and talk about why you want to start training yourself to go the extra mile and get into the habit of working a little bit harder for your listings.
Right. I mean, I totally agree with you. When it comes to the point that agents are going to have to work harder to convince sellers to list with them, that is really going to turn it into a situation where, you know, I believe that agencies or agents who are using the best technology or who have the most forward-thinking sales strategies, these are going to be the agents that get the listings. I mean, I was reading an article the other day, and the agent that was one of the agents that was interviewed, she's creating YouTube videos to sell the properties that she has listed.
Yes.
So, for instance, if there is a gourmet kitchen or a chef's kitchen, she films a video of herself actually cooking a meal in the kitchen, puts it on YouTube, and puts it in with her marketing package for the property. You know, if the backyard is super nice, then she films like she has a video of a group of people enjoying like a cocktail hour out there.
Yeah, I mean, those are brilliant ideas, really. But a lot of work, that's for sure.
I mean, you know, I live in Phoenix, and there are more than 60,000 realtors, agents, and brokers with licenses that are currently active there.
That's an amazing number.
It's nuts. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is the fifth largest metro area in the United States. And, you know, right now we are absolutely reaping the benefits of California being so out of range for most people to buy. But that's still a huge number of agents. I mean, I'm sure that there are the requisite percentage who got a license, got a real estate license to avoid having to pay commission on their own property transactions. But, I mean, even still, our realtor, the office where she works, they have more than 800 agents.
Oh, gee, that is crazy.
Yeah, so if I was a realtor, right now, I would be looking at as many options as I possibly could to be able to get more listings. You know, in places like Phoenix, where people have been seriously underwater since the housing crash and are just now starting to see the prices go back to what they were paying 13 years ago, I mean, it seems that the sentiment for a lot of people is to list their houses right now and get out while they can, even if they're not going to really make any money on these properties. So, you know, these people who are actively trying to sell right now, they want to see agents who are working for them, you know, not agents who are in the habit of sticking up a sign, having a single open house, and then expecting offers to roll in.
That's right. And using a platform like mobilewalletmarketer.com, that's a great way to demonstrate to your potential listing clients that you, as an agent or a broker, understand the marketing dynamics are shifting and that you are out in front of them and able to use technology effectively and to their advantage.
Well, you know, that's a big thing for sure.
Yeah, so we are here to help you if you are thinking about getting set up to use the platform. We are literally just an email or phone call away. We have contact forms on dominoresearch.com website and on our website mobilewalletmarketer.com. We normally reply within a day to most inquiries, and it takes a couple of days to get you set up and running. All your marketing collateral is customized to fit your brand, and we walk you through the entire process and make sure you're up and running correctly from the start.
Yep. I mean, we want to make sure that you understand how to use the platform to your best advantage and not just be stumbling along, failing to get what you can from it.
Yeah, so let's wrap up this episode. As we said in the beginning, there are plenty of real estate marketing-oriented episodes in the archives, and you can pick and choose which ones you want to listen to right after this.
Thanks. So have a great week, and we will see you next time.